I think that's what drives me to this day is I want to be that old man on the rocking chair and on the front porch one day and not asking what if, what if, what if. I want to be the guy that said I tried it. I didn't probably complete it, but at least I gave it a shot, you know, sure. And that's what matters more than anything.
Sure. Do you have to ask yourself the question is, whatever you're unhappy about, is this what you want your life to become?
On Spartan Up, we talk about resilience. On today's classic episode, we bring you three people who took dark moments, turned their lives around, and rewrote their stories. Frank Ferranti, Jeff Gomez, and J.R. Martinez. Whether the circumstances are obesity, addiction, a dangerous childhood, or severe burns, the answer for all three was the same. Realize that the beginning of your story has been written, but the end is up to you.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
We met Frank Ferranti at Dodger Stadium, and he told Johnny Waite about overcoming addiction and obesity.
But life is not linear, so I cleaned up my act that way, cleaned up the drugs and the alcohol. But the core issues were still there, and eventually, so I stopped using drugs and I stopped using alcohol. And then I got crazy in other ways, and then eventually I got obese, I started eating like crazy, and I started going to Indian or you can eat Indian buffet restaurants and stuff, and I didn't know what I was going to do, one thing, I was in construction. This other thing I wanted to mention about what you say, I took I didn't have a high school diploma, and I hurt myself. I couldn't do construction anymore. Plus, I was fat. I was miserable. I hated life. I just hated myself. And somebody suggested I go back to school, which is more to it. But I went to a community college, and because I didn't have a high school diploma, I wanted to get my stuff together by Friday, so I enrolled in like 90 classes.
And
I had a counselor who said, "Well, Mr. Ferranti, why don't you, instead of doing that, why don't you pick one class that you like and experience being in this environment and experiencing success in this environment?" Mm-hmm. And I thought, my God, does everybody like think like that here? Because that's pretty swift. Yeah. I took a class in geographic anthropology, loved it. Was that the guy you hated sat in the front, raised my hand, went to Kinko's, laminated all my homework. And at the end of the class, I still didn't know what I was going to do. And I went to the professor and I thanked him for this wonderful experience. And I shook his hand and he looked at me and he goes, "What are you going to do now?" And I said, "Well, to tell you the truth, professor, I don't know." And he bore down on me and said, "You belong here." And at that moment, like, time stopped. I believed him again. Mm-hmm. It just went right. It crossed all the negative stories I had about myself. You can't do this. You're no good. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? For some reason, like a hot knife through butter, went right to my left ventricle. And the next thing I know, man, I'm in UCSB. I got admitted to UCSB,
so University of California, Santa Barbara.
Yeah, yeah. I'm majoring in history and political science. I graduate from there. I go to
And what age were you then? Because that's a neat
50.
Yeah, exactly. So
I
want people to hear that.
I was 52. I didn't have a high school diploma, man, and I was very busy.
Yeah, sure. You had shit to do.
I had shit to do, man. I had stuff to do. And I had content to create.
People
talk to me now because my son once asked me, "Dad, how did you?" I was working with him through a personal issue that was challenging to him. And my son said to me, "Dad, how did you get so wise?" Can I curse?
You can curse.
He said,
"Marry
him." Okay, he said, "Dad says, how did you get so wise?" I said, "Well, Nikki, I royally fucked up and survived."
Yeah, sure, sure.
And life is not linear, man. Yeah. And it's really important for people to know that success is really something internal that you feel. It's not something that somebody gives you. Yeah. It's a feeling that comes from within. And it took me a lifetime to learn that.
Well, it took you a lifetime, and now you're in California.
So I'm in California.
And that's where I know the story that starts.
So I'm in California. I'm in grad school. I'm very fat. I have a running love affair, an obsessive love affair with Indian, all-you-can-eat Indian buffet restaurants. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I'm surprised they let me in. I'm surprised that when they saw me coming down the block, there wasn't a guy in the door with an AK saying, you can't come in here. Because I didn't go in there to eat. I went in there to do damage. You know?
Yeah.
And I used to say that as a joke.
Yeah.
And I realized that's exactly what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing damage to myself. And as I did damage to myself, consequently, I also was affecting every relationship in my life, unwittingly.
Working on story. Jeff Gomez has been involved in projects like Pirates of the Caribbean and Avatar, and that's why story is so important. He explained to Joe DeSena how he rewrote his own story, and you'll notice Jesse Itzler in the background chiming in.
I'm a big proponent of the Spartan philosophy because so much of it has to do with confronting one's own limitations, you know. It has a lot to do with kind of understanding, from my perspective, that you're living a story. You're kind of the screenwriter of your own movie, you know, and for most people that's fine, but for some people who have problems or challenges that are repetitive, they make the same mistakes over and over again. Or something's not satisfying about their lives and how their relationships or how they're realizing their goals and maybe not making it. A lot of that is rooted in how the story started. You know, those first few years are critical because think about it. Your reality is shaped by your parents' reality or your environment's reality, and quite often, those are the impositions of a lot of limitations, you know. What's brilliant about writing the story of your own life is you're capable of doing a rewrite and going back and figuring out exactly where you kind of met with these problems initially and figuring out how you can kind of tell the story in a different way. Because why should I live according to the way that the 5-year-old version of me was handling life? You know, I want to go back and kind of rewrite that experience. It's not my fault, whatever happened to me. And I know better now. So we can start to break old habits and break out of the limitations that were imposed on us.
Jesse's going through it now. He's living in a monastery, right?
Sure.
You're rewriting your story, really.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
I love that line that you said about rewriting, you know, you write your own screenplay.
Because if you are convinced that somebody else is writing yours, well, then you're stuck.
But 100%.
But he's saying, no, you write it yourself.
You write it yourself.
Go back and erase it.
No matter what happened to you.
Just going to chime in one thing before I leave. One thing that I do, and I don't know if this is a technique, but, you know, I'll go to the end of the movie in my head. So let's say I'm starting a business. I'll see it already sold. It's already sold. I've made $1 million. I'm making it
sure,
up.
Sure.
I got to film the script now how I get there. Yeah. But the end is already done. I'm going to run. I'm going to finish the marathon. I'm going to wear the medal. Now I just got to film the training. But the script is always kind of written. Is that sort of...
In a way, certainly, we go backwards instead of forwards because if for a lot of the brands and storylines that we're working with, if you go forward and don't make the adjustment in the past, the past is still a rudder that is guiding how you're going to get to realize that goal. And sometimes it's not the most productive way, or sometimes you'll do something that's, I don't know, dishonorable or not adherent to the best possibility of yourself.
In his example, he might be carrying a bad habit because of the way he was influenced as a youngster.
Right. So he sets a goal,
right.
And maybe that goal means hurting a lot of people in order to achieve the goal. He achieves the goal,
right.
But you know. His past is radiating this poison or this negativity that is informing how he gets to that goal.
Yeah, yeah. What are the techniques that people can use to rewrite their story?
It's funny, Joe, you and I talked about this with regard to Spartan, because I wanted to understand Spartan race and where it came from. And one of the things we talked about that we apply to big brands and big movies and even big crises, socio-political crises, is the concept we call primal challenge. And it's really just an exercise that anybody can try. We are born, and we're the bright center of the universe. You know, everything exists to serve us. If it doesn't, we're dead.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't for a short time, we get aggravated, we scream or cry, and something gets stuck in our mouths or our diapers changed or something like that. But after a few years of being the bright center of the universe, something happens. We're somehow shown that we're not, and we're snapped out of this bliss that we were in our infancy, and made to realize that the world is kind of rough. You know, it could be a dark place. So for some kids or some characters, that's an early childhood humiliation or a tragedy or a disease, something that imposes itself from outside and throws us out of our innocence. And in great stories, the response to that is to make some kind of vow. I'll never let this thing trick me again. I'll never let myself be called stupid again. I don't want to be perceived of as some kind of weakling or nerd. So I'm going to, and then the answer is usually some form of hypercompensation, right? We start doing things that are a response to these early childhood traumas that set us on the road. We start writing that script. The problem is we continue writing that script based on a primordial response to some kind of failure. And we want to be right about what it is that we're doing. So we keep gathering evidence
to confirm the way we're acting. Got it.
You see that? And that locks us onto one road, and it may not be the right road. There are so many other ways to
go back. You got
to
go back and rewrite.
That's right.
But is there a technique? You can actually do a day, or like what do you suggest somebody does?
It's as simple as for our purposes, as in acknowledging the fact that there isn't a single way to be right, that there are always alternatives, okay? And also, what is it that we're doing? What are we giving to the world? What's our contribution? If we can come up with something for ourselves that is symbolic of what it is that we're here to do on Earth, we can match it on a day-to-day basis against that failure to make sure that we're not locked into some situation that's not going to be productive, that's not going to get us an inch closer to realizing this this big goal, you know?
Get that.
For me, for example, if the failure was, I'm not like all the other people, and that will always make me some kind of outcast or nerd or shy kid. I can't be masculine, I can't be macho, I can't be tough because that's what everybody else is and I don't like it. Ultimately that isolated me as a kid. I had some benefits because I learned how to tell stories, but I was lonely for a long, long time, Joe, and ultimately I realized that if the gift that I have is this strange understanding for how people can connect with stories or messages across all these different media platforms, it really means that I want to connect, and I want all of us to be connected. If we're all connected, we can empathize with each other and maybe stop hitting each other and stop harming each other. That'd be cool. So I matched that against that failure. You know, am I being shy and withdrawn and isolated from the world? I'm not writing my story the right way then, right now. It needs a rewrite, you know? And yes, that is my default.
We'll be right back to this interview, but first a message from today's sponsor, Dorlane. You know that knee pain can really slow you down. Sometimes that knee pain is due to osteoarthritis, a disease that affects some 14 million Americans. Learn about osteoarthritis knee pain and how to alleviate it at oaknepainrelief.com. You'll find information there about non-surgical, non-opioid treatments for osteoarthritis knee pain that may help delay the need for knee surgery. One treatment you'll find there is Dorlane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months of relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. It's indicated for the treatment of mild to moderate osteoarthritis knee pain when conservative treatments have not worked. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. Full prescribing information is at Dorlane.com. Spartans say no to limits. You can learn more at oaknepainrelief.com. That's oaknepainrelief.com. All right, back to the interview. J.R. Martinez came to our Spartan World Championships in Tahoe to be interviewed. His story takes him from severe burns all over his body to dancing with the stars.
I think most people do that, actually, right? Most
they
people
do, yeah.
Don't realize. It goes back to one of the things we were talking about around principles of, like, everything you do has to be getting you closer to your goal.
Absolutely.
And then most people don't do that.
Right.
And then when they don't reach the goal, they're pissed off.
Exactly.
And so that's what happened to you.
It's exactly what happened. I got pissed off and I was angry and my mom was trying to present all these alternatives and I was like, but it wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I wrote on the sheet of paper. It's not supposed to happen this way. So I took the sheet of paper into my mind and just kind of shredded it, right? And like just threw it away. And I was like, I give up because there's no alternatives. So I saw a commercial, pretty cliche, about the United States Army and I thought, why not? And so obviously, like, my family's from Central America, El Salvador, and I had gone to El Salvador, you know, multiple times prior to, you know, graduating from high school. And, you know, based on kind of like the standards in the United States, like, you know, people would look at us and would say we're poor. And we were, like, we didn't have a lot. But in comparison to like my family in El Salvador, we were rich. And just simply from the fact that I was able to go to school without necessarily having to worry about dropping out to go work, right? Like, I was rich enough in a sense of where I can freely go to school and get an education. And I screwed that up. I didn't take advantage of that. Right. So after high school, I just thought, I got to give back to this country, like, because they've given me and my family so much. And of course, it was under attack.
That commercial was the hook.
It made sense, man. Yeah. It made sense for me. It was a one-stop shop for me. So I joined the Army. Went out to basic training for 3 months, and I tell you, like, I just thought it was going to be like a bunch of guys going to football camp kind of deal, you know? Like,
you're thinking it's going to be a bunch of buddies hanging out? And
yeah, because I enlisted as an 11 Bravo infantryman. Infantry, I'm sure you're aware, is front lines, it's combat, and you know, it's men, right? And I just thought,
still bold though that you were able to pick up the phone or go into that recruiter's office, and not everybody can do that.
Yeah, but and I think okay, so to take it further back, right? Because it's never just, you never just show up, right? And just suddenly it happens. I think there's a lot of things that take place over the course of your life that we ignore that ultimately start to kind of develop up and shape in us and kind of give us that density that we need. And interestingly enough, so my mom moved us to Arkansas when I was 9, right? I didn't want to be there. And I just kind of owned it and just kind of made it my comfort zone and just worked with it.
Worked with it, yeah.
But then when I got into high school, I started to notice that a lot amongst my peers, there was a lot of drugs, a lot of gangs, a lot of the negative stuff. And I just thought to myself, if I stay here, I become this. And so I orchestrated a plan for us to actually move. At the age of 17, I made a deal with my mom and I said, I'm going to go, it's a summertime, to Georgia, because she had a friend that lived there. I'll get a job. And let's say in a month, if I'm doing well enough, then you have to move. If I don't get a job within 2 weeks, or if I don't get a job within a month, or I'm not doing well, I won't bring up the moving thing until I'm done with high school. She said, deal.
Wow.
And all we could afford was for me to get on the Greyhound bus. And so I got on the Greyhound bus, went to Georgia. A month later, I saved up enough money to secure an apartment.
Wow.
So here I was as a 17-year-old kid, you know, taking control.
You had the hustle. That's amazing.
You know, taking control. Yeah. But it also, because I was influenced, like, by my mom. Like, my mom had taught me so much. Not trying to, like, you know, but she just kind of taught me a lot of lessons of where you just kind of try things. You got to go for things and you got to, you know, challenge yourself. And so for me to look at the military was not necessarily something brand
new
for
me. Yeah, it wasn't that far.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was something I've already kind of done and say, okay, I'm going to take myself out of this box that I've lived in, this comfort zone.
That's a big lesson for people listening and watching, right?
It is.
Is like, so what? Just do it.
Just go for it.
Go for it. By the way, you probably regret not doing things. You very rarely regret getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and I think that's what drives me to this day is I want to be that old man on the rocking chair and on the front porch one day and not asking what if. I want to be the guy that said I tried it. I didn't probably complete it, but at least I gave it a shot, you know, sure. And that's what matters more than anything. Sure. You have to ask yourself the question is, whatever you're unhappy about, is this what you want your life to become? You know, I always tell people that when you think about your life as a book that you're going to present to someone for them to read and hopefully gain something from it, the first few chapters of the book have already been written for you. They've been written by your family's history, by our country, by Earth's history. But then at some point, you have the opportunity to write the middle, the body, and the ending. That's on you. So you have to ask yourself the question, like, am I happy where I'm at? Am I accomplishing? Am I fulfilling the things that I want to accomplish and fulfill? And you may not even know the answer, but if you know you're not happy where you are, then it's about saying, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change my identity.
You get to write it.
Because you get to write it. You have control. In the mix of us feeling like we've lost so much, the one thing we always have is how are we going to show up? What's our attitude going to be? How are we going to, what's our outlook going to be?
We can't control the environment, but we can control the reaction to it.
You can control reaction to it. And that's exactly the key that has worked for me.
Right, because your reaction in the hospital could have been, I'm done.
Easily, I'm done. Like, I mean, there were so many opportunities where there were triggers, and there's still triggers to this day, Joe, that people come up to me and they see my scars and the way that they look at me. Yeah. And it's a reminder of my truth. And that can easily send me to a dark room, not running on the treadmill like Isaiah for 24 hours with a bunch of bananas and a little bit of water. But it would send me into a dark room and never want to show my face ever again. But I've had to continuously make a choice. Am I going to allow that individual to have that much power over me? No. And so what I do is I've used humor, right? Like, I had a kid one time come up to me at the store, and he was just staring at me with his mouth wide open. And you never seen anything like this. And I had a choice. Do I run away because he's reminding me, or do I approach him? And I approached him, and I said, can I help you? And he said, you don't look normal. That's what he said. Now, another trigger, another opportunity for me to run away, and this is what I chose. I looked at him and I said, you know, that's interesting because I was looking at you thinking the same exact thing. And he was like, what? No, I'm normal. I said, no, man, you're not normal. I'm normal. And we had this 2-minute back and forth banter about who's normal, who's not, to the point where he was so confused, he turned around and walked away. And I felt so empowered. And I went back to shopping. And then like 10 minutes later, he shows back up and he's like, I want to apologize. And I said, why? And he said, well, because that wasn't nice of me to say that. And I said, man, listen, normal is what you feel, is what you are, is what you own. That's the opportunity and the control that every single one of us have. But we have to be willing to do that. And so the question is to everyone listening and watching right now, are you happy? Are you happy where you are? Are you happy with your circumstance? If not, then it's on you to re-identify yourself. It's on you to constantly shape that and say, how do you want it to, what's your story going to be from this moment that you have that conversation with yourself on for the rest of your life? What's your legacy going to be? What's your mark going to be? How are people going to remember you? I know way too many people. And I love my mother to death, but my mother lost a child. My mother almost lost me. My mother was a victim of domestic abuse. My mother has dealt with a lot of abandonment, and I understand it, and it's validated. I validate it. But you know what I've seen with my mother, unfortunately, now, is that all of those things, because her unwillingness to take control and to deal with it and take those necessary steps, all it's done is just kind of got in the middle of everything else that could be beautiful.
It's affected mom.
It's affected mom. It's affected in the way that she lives. It's become an obstacle that she has not been able to overcome and hasn't been willing to overcome.
She's not unique, though. I mean, this is everybody.
No, exactly. But that's exactly my point. We focus so much on trying to expect like the big thing to take place, and we're losing sight of these small snippets that are teaching us, that are learning moments. It's like we have to wait for the trauma to come for us to figure it out and to learn learn and to be like, oh, we get it. Why can't we spend the time before that big thing happens paying attention to the small things that are happening in our life? Because those are learning, that's nutrients. Those are the beautiful things that are going to give us what we need to prepare for that big moment. You know, everyone always thinks like, I can't wait for the big opportunity. But what steps are you taking now to prepare for that?
You got
to
practice. Where's you're not going to be ready when it happens.
Yeah, you want the moment to come, and guess what? You're gonna choke. You're not going to do the best you can do. So like, what's the point, right? Like, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that we put so much emphasis on the destination, you know, the finish line, and not the journey.
Yeah.
Not taking in everything this course has to offer.
Thanks for listening to this classic episode of the Spartan Up Podcast. Remember, whatever task you're taking on, you will need resilience of mind, body, and spirit. And we're here to be your partner with reminders, techniques, and strategies 3 days a week to help you stay on track. Whatever app you listen in, click that follow button or that subscribe button to make sure you get notifications and you don't miss valuable information. See you next time.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.